I was talking with somebody recently about going out to the movies. Now, Mandy and I don't do that all that much anymore. It's not that we don't watch movies. We still do watch movies. We often stream at least one in a week, sometimes more. But we don't go out to the movies all that much. And if we did, it would have to be at one of those movie theaters that had the kind of the new kind of movie experience. You know, the ones with the kind of the lazy boy style recliners that you can pull or push the little button and you get to put your feet up. I'm not sure I'm actually pretty sure that every one of you will remember the old style movie theaters. I don't think we've got anybody too young here that doesn't remember the old style movie theaters that you had to pull down the seats and then you had to sit upright in this cushioned chair. Well, I don't know if there's any movie theaters in Calgary that are still like that. Maybe there are. But I got to tell you that if there are, you won't find me in one of those movie theaters. If I go out to a movie, I want to be able to get comfortable. Comfort is something that people seem to gravitate towards, don't they? If you're looking for a new car, often people want to find one that they're going to feel comfortable in. In our homes, we try to set up spaces that are comfortable. And perhaps one of the greatest gifts that we can give somebody who drops by our house for a visit is to invite them to make yourselves comfortable. Make yourselves at home. Comfort is something that we gravitate towards. And yet, sometimes I wonder if comfort is really all what it's cracked up to be. Sometimes I wonder if comfort is what we really should be seeking. This morning we heard a passage in which we were introduced to a man who wasn't satisfied simply with being comfortable. One who wasn't satisfied and content with simply taking things easy. No, instead, the sense I get is that in him there was a restlessness. There was somebody who was always looking for something more. And I'd like us to spend some time with our passage today, listening for what God might be wanting to say to us through it. And I want to title the sermon today, "This Isn't the Time to Be Getting Comfortable." Our reading today comes from John's Jesus story, and the context in which it takes place is right near the beginning of Jesus' ministry. If you were with us last week, either in person or online, you will remember that last week we heard about Jesus' baptism as told by Matthew. Well, John's Jesus story is the only Jesus story that doesn't really mention Jesus' baptism. It does allude to it, but for some reason, John doesn't include the baptism in his story. Now, perhaps it is simply to avoid the tension that some people find is created by the fact that Jesus was baptized by John in the first place. I mean, there are some tensions, aren't there? If John's baptism was for the forgiveness of sins, and if Jesus was sinless, then why was Jesus going through with a baptism in the first place? Perhaps that's why John omitted it. Just decided to avoid those questions and avoid the tension that it created. Whatever reason, John omits Jesus' baptism. And instead, he focuses on the testimony that John the Baptist has about Jesus to those who have gathered around him. Listen to how the passage today opened. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." And then John goes on to say in verse 32, "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him." In our passage last Sunday, we heard about that dove coming to settle on Jesus. While John doesn't specifically speak about Jesus' baptism, he does speak about what he saw after the baptism, the Spirit of God descending upon Jesus in the form of a dove. And what's important here for John the writer is the testimony that John the Baptist gives. Verse 34, "I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one." Now, by the time we get to verse 40 of our passage today, we're introduced to somebody named Andrew. And it's Andrew I'd like us to spend some time with today, considering things about him. What do we know about Andrew? Well, we know that Andrew was Simon Peter's brother. And we know that the two of them were fishermen. And we're not told that in our passage today, but we are told that through some of the other Jesus stories, that Andrew and Peter were both fishermen. Very likely, fishing was the family business for that family. Something that Andrew and Peter likely had done with their father from a very young age. But you know, as I reflect on the story today, the sense I get is that despite the fact that fishing was something Andrew knew very well, despite the fact that very likely fishing was something that came naturally to Andrew, the sense I get is that there was a sense of discomfort within him. While fishing may well have provided for his family, while fishing may very well have paid the bills, the sense I get is that there was some element of disquiet within him. A sense that there was something missing. Perhaps some kind of emptiness inside that he was longing to have filled. And what leads me to think that is the fact that according to our reading today, Andrew had become a disciple of John the Baptist. We discover that by working backwards in our story today. In verse 40, John tells us that Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two that heard what John had said. And what had John said? Well, John had said, "Look, the Lamb of God." And then earlier in verse 35, we're told that John the Baptist was with two of his disciples when he said that. As far as John the writer is concerned, Andrew is a disciple of John the Baptist. Now, often when we think of disciples, we think of the 12 disciples of Jesus, people who have been called by Jesus to follow him directly, and that often we just assume that that was all the disciples that there were. But many people had disciples. Many rabbis had people try to follow them, want to follow them. They wanted to be like the rabbis. And so John the Baptist is one of those people who has disciples, people who are following after him. And what John, the writer, is telling us is that Andrew was one of those disciples of John the Baptist. What this tells me is that even before Jesus embarked on his ministry, even before Jesus issued a call to Simon Peter and Andrew, Andrew was already starting his own search. He was looking for something more. Try to imagine what life might have been like for Andrew as a fisherman. Very likely he would have experienced some very long hours out on the water, out in the boat. Now often that time would, often those hours would be filled with the actual act of fishing, hauling the fish into the boat, but there would have been times when they just did nothing. We know that from other parts of Scripture. There were times when they didn't catch any fish. So they'd be out in the boat for long hours and just waiting. And I can imagine that during those times, that Andrew and Peter, they might have had discussions about things. They might have had some questions about life, some long conversations. I also wonder whether there might have been times when they just sat quietly. They just did some thinking, reflected on things about life. And the sense that I get is that for Andrew, at least, there was a sense of disquiet within him. A sense that perhaps in the midst of the downtime, in the midst of his time thinking and reflecting, there was a growing discomfort with life as he knew it. That he was aware that there was some kind of void within him. And all of this caused him to go out searching in an effort to find out what might fill the void that he was experiencing. Now, that's not to say that I think that he gave up fishing. I very much doubt that was the case. I think that it might have been a kind of a both-and kind of situation, that he was wanting to be a disciple of John, but he still had that connection to the fishing business with his brother Peter. But even though he may well have been doing that fishing with Peter, he wasn't fully satisfied. He wanted to find what was missing. And I think that's what led Andrew to become a disciple of John the Baptist. Somehow, Andrew came upon John's ministry. Whether it was that he just stumbled upon it, or whether he had heard from other people that some interesting things were being talked about out in the wilderness, I don't know. But somehow, he found John, and he wanted to become one of John's disciples. But the sense I get is that even then, Andrew doesn't allow himself to get comfortable. Even then, Andrew doesn't allow himself to become satisfied. Even then, there's a sense in Andrew that there is still a void that is yet to be filled. So when Andrew hears the words from John the Baptist, "Look, the Lamb of God," Andrew wastes no time. He and another disciple, they decide to go up to Jesus. Now, did Andrew know what John the Baptist was talking about when he said, "Look, the Lamb of God"? Did he fully understand that? I doubt that he did. I mean, sure, Hebrew people did have an understanding of the place of lambs in their theology. But to link a lamb with a person, I don't think that would have been something that Andrew would have understood. But even though he may not have known what John the Baptist was even talking about, even though leaving John the Baptist's side and starting to follow this man, Jesus, whom John had pointed to, even though that would have been like leaving the familiar and taking steps towards the unknown, even though John the Baptist was somebody who Andrew was already familiar with, and there was likely a sense of comfort that came with being around one with whom he was familiar, Andrew was looking for so much more than mere comfort. He wanted to find that which his heart was seeking. I wouldn't be surprised if since Andrew's first encounter with John the Baptist and Andrew's decision to start following John, I wouldn't be surprised if Andrew felt closer even then to God than he'd ever felt before. That he knew that in John there was somebody special. But Andrew also knew that there was still more to be discovered. He knew that he could still grow in relationship with God. And so Andrew wasn't prepared to put down any roots. He wasn't prepared to settle down amongst the disciples of John the Baptist. He wasn't prepared to settle for anything less than God's ultimate revelation. Even though he didn't know where it would lead, Andrew was willing to follow Jesus. Oh, how easy it is to become comfortable. How easy it is to look for the lever of that lazy boy recliner and just put your feet up and relax. How easy it is to see the steps of discipleship as being too much like hard work, and for us simply to seek out the comfortable. But I don't believe that's God's will for any one of us. God doesn't want us to become satisfied with where we are, but instead wants us to keep on moving with Jesus. It would have been so much easier for Andrew to simply stay put with John the Baptist. He wouldn't have been venturing out into the unknown. But that wasn't what Andrew was about. He wasn't about seeking the comfortable. He wanted to discover what God had for him. And you know, I'm struck by what unfolded as the passage continued today. Because John tells us that after Andrew and the other disciple, they went up to Jesus. Jesus turned around and he asked them a question. He said, "What do you want?" What an interesting question. What do you want? I wonder how we would answer such a question of Jesus today. What do you want? Well, these two disciples, they had a response to Jesus' question. And at first glance, the response seems to be a strange one. They respond, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" Was that it? That's what they wanted to know? They just wanted to see his house? But you know, I think the meaning behind their response gets a little bit lost in translation. It wasn't simply a "we want to take a look at your house" kind of response from Andrew and the other disciple, as though they were tourists who just wanted to get a selfie in front of it. No, the word that has been translated to us as "staying" would be much better to be translated as "abide." And it's the same word in the Greek that appears later in John's gospel, where Jesus calls his followers to abide in him. Andrew and the other disciple are here responding to Jesus with their deep longing. They want to see where Jesus abides, because that's where they want to be abiding as well. And I think they know that it's not going to be something short term. That they'll just spend a little bit of time with him and then go on their way. No, I think they know that this abiding will require everything of them. And they're willing to take those steps anyway. Comfort has never been something that has interested Andrew. What interests Andrew is discovering the fullness of Jesus. And notice what Jesus says to Andrew after Andrew's response that he wants to see where Jesus is staying. Jesus responds by saying, "Come, and you will see." Jesus didn't say, "Let me just tell you all about it." He said, "Come and see." Going deeper in discipleship is not about learning more about Jesus. It's about experiencing Jesus. It's about having a relationship with him. Andrew couldn't do that from a distance. Jesus wanted Andrew to come and see. So Andrew and that other disciple, they spent some time with him. And the sense that we get is that for Andrew, at least, things started to fall into place. After all the thinking that there must be something more, Andrew gets a sense of that more in Jesus. Yet I'm also struck by something else in our reading today. That even after Andrew has taken some steps towards Jesus, even after he's responded to John the Baptist's words, "Behold the Lamb of God," even after Andrew starts to follow Jesus in the hope of abiding with him, even then, Andrew doesn't just choose to soak it all in. He doesn't choose to just make himself comfortable from that point onward. He doesn't for a moment try to settle down. Even though that Andrew believes that Jesus is the one he's meant to be following, he wasn't willing to merely be a recipient of all that Jesus had to offer. Instead, listen to what Andrew did. John tells us, the first thing Andrew did was find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah." And he brought him to Jesus. Andrew wasn't willing to keep the discovery to himself, not willing simply to sit back and enjoy the ride. No, rather than making himself comfortable in the presence of Jesus, Andrew immediately thinks of others, that he might introduce them to Jesus. 2 weeks ago, we entered into a new year, 2023. Often at the start of a year, we spend time looking back on the past year. Many of us look forward to the new one. We do a bit of reflection and we do a little bit of imagining of what things might be like going forward. I hope you're still doing that. And I hope you're doing that not just in relation to your work life, not just in relation to how you spend your free time or how you spend your money, but even more, I hope that you're doing that in relation to your life as a disciple of Jesus. What might Jesus have to say about our state of discipleship right now? I wonder how far Jesus believes we've come up to now and how much further Jesus would like us to go. I wonder if in any way Jesus thinks that we've gotten a little bit too comfortable as individuals, as a church. I wonder how easily we've been to set ourselves kind of on cruise control, to take the easy routes, because anything else just seems too challenging and exhausting. I wonder how much Jesus thinks that we've become too satisfied simply knowing about Jesus than we have been in taking steps that we might abide in him more. Or how much Jesus thinks we have turned in on ourselves and forgot others who have yet to meet with him. I want to leave you with some questions to consider this week, questions to reflect on. In what way have you sought the comfortable when it comes to your relationship with Jesus? How have you sought the comfortable? What is Jesus saying to you today about abiding with Him? And what might that look like in the days, weeks, and months to come? What might it look like to abide with Jesus? Within the sphere of your relationships, who might Jesus be prompting you to introduce to Jesus? And what might such an introduction look like? Andrew wasn't one to become satisfied. He wasn't one to get comfortable. May we never become so comfortable and so self-satisfied in our place with Jesus that we fail to take the steps that He has laid before us. But instead, may we take those steps that we truly might discover what it really means to abide in Him. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love for us. We thank You for Jesus. Lord, we want to abide with Him. We want to name that there have been times when we become complacent and satisfied and we've just gotten comfortable. But Lord, we want there to be that sense of discomfort within us that we will continue to seek after You more and more, to continue to follow and take the steps that You call us to take, and that we will introduce others to You as well. Help us to truly know what it means to abide in You. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.